Good morning. How y'all doing? Yeah. Good day. Second row, some familiar faces there. Hey, Greg. All right. Oh, I got glasses. Oh, I can see there's more. Glad you guys are here. Hey, what a great morning so far. It's awesome. I want to talk to you today about thankful and success. And it's not what you think. How many, when you heard that, thankful and success, you go, well, what does that mean? I'll tell you what success is from God's perspective. And it's simply this: immediate obedience. Being obedient today is successful in the kingdom of God. You go to bed tonight and you go, man, I did good today. Then you're successful. You go to bed tonight and you go, man, I messed up and I need to repent of some things. You're successful. That's successful. That's how God views it. Because from God, in God's economy, being obedient today is the preparation for our future success. We live in a world that always wants to know what's going to happen out there. How's this destination? I want to get there quick. I want to get there now. I want to be a hero without having to do zero things. I want to be great without having to endure the hard. I want all these things. And to us, that's success. When I've reached a certain amount of income, then I'm successful. I've never met anybody, and I've been around dinosaurs, and I've never been around anybody that said, you know what, I got enough money. I don't need any more money. I'm good to go. Yeah, but what if we have, anybody have, you know, how many have a better bank account than they had before? Is this good enough? Oh, it's not good enough. We like it. We can do more things, but it's still not good enough because we have a weird dynamic of success. It can be relationships. It can be employment. It can be a lot of different things. So here's my question to you. What are you possibly doing that could be more important or successful and have greater meaning in your life right now than doing immediately that which the Lord has been asking you to do? What could you possibly be doing that could be more important or more successful for your life, or create greater meaning in your life than doing right now, immediately, what God is asking you to do? And the answer is nothing. Doing what God wants me to do now is the most successful thing I can do now for my life. It will have not only great impact on my life, it will also create the greatest impact on my future for good. You know, we have a saying in this church, and we've had it for many years. Learn a little and what? Use it a lot. Use it a lot. Why? Because every type of growth, every type of success is incremental. There are very few people that become instant successes. Everything takes time. You do not have a successful marriage the day you get married. How many know that? It takes a long time to have a successful marriage. How long? As long as you have that marriage. You're working on it, baby. It's either moving forward or moving backward. It's not stagnant. Nothing's stagnant in life. But we have this idea that if we just hit that plateau of perfection, everything will be great after that. Listen, learning a little bit, applying that, makes us successful. The most important lesson you have to learn is the lesson you are learning now. That's the most important lesson you can learn. Listen what Isaiah says, chapter 28, verse 10. He tells us everything over and over, one line at a time, one line at a time, a little here and a little there. Why? Repetition. Repetition. You know why? How many are amazed that a song comes on? Well, it's radio, but who listens to that now? Comes on your phone or whatever you got going on, Apple Music, Spotify, whatever, and you know all the words. You haven't heard that song in two decades. And you're right in the groove. You're moving with it. Why? Repetition. You listen to it a gazillion times. And little by, how many of, in my generation, I've learned songs that I was singing all the way wrong. It's like, that's the words? I never sang it like, I think they're wrong. Why? Because we didn't have, now you can turn on a song and the words come up there and you got the lyrics right there. They didn't have that back in the day. You know, so there is this repetition. That's why Jesus was a master at teaching. He never gave his disciples everything he knew. He gave it to them incrementally. What they needed to know now, what they needed to apply now. That's how you do it. Why? Because we're children. We're children. We grow incrementally. I have my second grader now. He's telling me, I don't like school. I go, man, this is going to be a long bummer for you. This is going to be a problem because you got many years left. Many years. You know, why? Because I don't like it. It's hard. I don't, you know, and I don't know fractions. Why? Because I don't use them in my life. I never use fractions. Why do I lose it? Well, Jesus said some important things. He says this in verse chapter 4 of Mark. And this was after he was teaching about receiving the seed. The heart has to be ready to receive the seed. The seed of God's word has to find a place where it can be received. And it's a seed. He doesn't take a full plant. I want to plant this thing in your life. He gives us seeds. Do this. Let this be planted. After he said that and taught on that, he added, pay close attention to what you hear. What you hear. Hearing and listening are two different things. I hear you. You know what that means? You're yakking. I'm not going to do nothing you're saying. I'm not even going to do, but I hear it. It's not moving me at all. Listening, on the other hand, is when I'm listening to somebody, I'm listening to them. I want to know what they're saying. There's a response entailed. So Jesus says to these guys, all the crowd, everyone listening, pay attention to what I just shared with you. Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will get. You will hear things. But what you listen to has the idea of applying, taking in, consuming. He says, when you consume this, you will have an understanding that enables you to consume more. If you miss this, something will happen, he says. He says, the more understanding you will give and you will receive even more. You're in the position to receive more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. It's a process. It will grow incrementally. But to those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. I learned about fractions. I took geometry and I took algebra in high school. I can't tell you anything about it. Because why? I never use it. What we don't use, we lose. So God, in his economy, it's the same thing. He will teach us incrementally, and it parallels the natural. We have a friend that has a son that's, he's got some disabilities, and he's in his 40s now. But when he was younger, he also couldn't maneuver his body well. He didn't have good coordination. And as they were studying this little guy, this is, of course, when he's younger, they said, you know what? Did he crawl? No. This kid went straight from being able to stand up and hold on to something to walking, and he missed the 3 months, 2.5 months, whatever amount of months a normal child has in crawling. And because he missed that incremental growth, he did not, his brain and his muscle structure and his balance never formed. He did not know left, right, crawl, 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 crawl. He did not gain that. So as he walked, by missing that incremental growth, he could not control his body well, though he had no physiological problems they could detect. So you know what they did? They took him back and he started a routine at about, I believe it was 10 or 12 years old, of crawling. They started having him every day, 3 times a day for a number of minutes, crawl back and forth. And he couldn't do it at first. He couldn't get coordinated. And as he kept practicing, learning that little bit and applying it, he began to train the brain to crawl. And guess what the benefit of that was? He could walk better. He learned balance. He could actually lean and correct himself. He developed a skill that he did not have before. Well, that's the way God operates with his kids. He takes us incrementally. We don't know the value of crawling and doing what God is telling us to do. Oftentimes when God tells us to do something, it sounds crazy to us. That kid looking at that, crawling? You know babies do that, right? I'm no baby. I don't need that. Oh, yeah, you do. You do. James tells us, don't just listen to the word. Do what it says. Else it has no impact. It's like someone looking in a mirror and forgetting that their hair's all jacked and walking away and going on with their day. They saw it, but they didn't do anything about it. Listen, success happens incrementally. So your job, your main job to be successful is do today what God is speaking to you to do. Maybe it's stop something. Maybe it's continue on. Maybe it's stay the course. Maybe it's stop being fearful and be still and know that I am God. Be still. Zip. Like we say to the kid, just zip. Please just zip. I had a flashback there this morning. Yeah. And your first success is simply believing who Jesus is. How many of us heard of Jesus and the first time you said, I'm in. I'm in. Got it. Who? No, I'm not seriously asking who. Second time. Third time. Fourth time. Four, baby. My guy. 100th time. 100th time, yeah. And on and on and on. So at some point, you made a decision to believe. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 that what? And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth. The gospel of your healing. That's what salvation means, your healing. When you believed. I've heard it. And I'm going to go for that. Having believed, that's your first get a little bit and use it. And said, okay, I will. When that happened, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, tells us in 1 Corinthians 13. You received the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit now is resourcing you. And from that point on, because the destination's there, he's going to take you to heaven. You're getting there. You've been sealed. But now you're beginning to learn a new way to do life, and that's incremental. You heard, you believed, and you obeyed. I believe that. And your life changed in the spiritual sense. Your first step of faith made you max to the end. The rest of it is all about incremental obedience and growth. And he said, we're told in Scripture that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. All truth will lead us into all truth. Oh, another incremental step-by-step growth. And it says this in verse 14, who is a deposit? This Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. It gives God glory to choose people that you go, that guy don't listen to nothing. And he takes those people. And then there's this progression. You got called in. Many people have been called in before you. And you are now following in that footsteps. That's the beauty of the God's word. People that have been in the same procession you have now entered into, we have their stories. And they all grew incrementally. You know about Peter? Peter was called by Jesus when Jesus was getting baptized. The day after he gets baptized, Peter gets called. And God says, You know how long it took him to go, okay, I'll follow you? About a year. About a year. Jesus had to finally go up to his house, get him in his boat, and that's where he falls down on his knees and says, all right. Moses, 80 years old before he led the people out. Then they get to the 10 miraculous plagues happen to release the people. And then what happens? They get to the river. He takes them to the Red Sea. And he said, and Moses goes, well, what are we going to do? He goes, well, get somebody to step in the water and I'll part it for you and I'll get you out of here. It's like, well, why don't you just, why don't you just do it? Why? Because God always calls us to do crazy. He calls us to go against our thinking in obedience. If I can't obey God in the obedience, step in the water, and I'm going to believe him for the impossible, that's how come so many of us, oh, we trust God with our eternity. Oh, yeah, I trust you with my eternity, and I do. But I'm a little tight this month. How am I going to make it? I can't trust him with the now. What does that say about me? I got to grow. And this is what Jesus said. He says this in John 14 to his disciples. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. We will do the impossible miracles. We will be involved in amazing things. And he says this, and even greater works. I'm going to do greater works than Jesus. Because he says, I am going to be with the Father. I'm leaving this earth. You're going to stay here. How have I done greater works than Jesus? What greater works have I ever done than Jesus? Well, I live in California. I live in Crazy Town. That's a greater work. He never lived in California. I drive around in Westminster. Jesus never drove around in Westminster. I've lived longer on earth than Jesus. Jesus didn't do that. That's a greater work. That was an accomplishment. I've been married 43 years. Jesus wasn't married one day. I'm a father. Jesus was never a father. I'm a grandfather. Jesus was never a grandfather. I've raised teenagers. Going on three times now. Still clueless. I went to Catholic school for 12 years. Jesus didn't do that. I drove a beer truck for a decade. Jesus never drove no beer truck. I've overcome the bondage of addiction. I've overcome a sin-soaked life where now I sprinkle sin. Is that weird? What? Did I not have said that? I dip in it. Whatever. I still sin. That's what I'm trying to say here. I suffered the death of my son and daughter. Been in full-time ministry over 33 years. Jesus wasn't doing that. See, I'm doing some things like Jesus. I've seen miracles. I've been involved in miracles. I've done things like Jesus, and I've done things that Jesus never did in the flesh. And so have you. So have you. That's why your life counts. Because there are other people that have done things like you. And as we walk with Jesus and we get incremental healing, incremental growth, incremental understanding, and it works in our lives. That's why it's always an inside job first before it's an outside job. That equips us to help others who similarly suffer. But they don't know they're lost in darkness. That's what makes us a light. Sometimes in our own thinking, we're salt to the world and we just can't get out of the salt shaker because of fears. In fact, Jesus says this in the very next verse after saying you're going to do greater things. He says, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Anything you ask, any great thing you ask in my name to help the cause of Christ, I will make it happen. I will make it happen. Yes, he says, ask me anything. In my name, and I will do it. You know what one of our big problems is? One of our big sins is we ask way too little. We ask way too little. I want to do great things for Jesus, but I don't want to be uncomfortable doing it. I want to do great. How many of us have asked in here, God, can you please make me super wealthy so I can give so much money away? There is so much need out there, Jesus. There are so many ministries worth giving to, worth doing. I have a vision that if I had money, I'd love to do this thing for you. I'd love to do it. We never asked for it. That's only one area. Jesus, I want to do great things for you. And he speaks to us one day. Pray for that person. I don't know. That's crazy. Oh, I should do that. I don't know them. I'm not a good prayer. You know that already. But I want to do great things for you. But I don't want to obey today. I don't want to do what you're telling me right now. And I've told you guys many times, cutting off the freeway at Beach in the 22, it's corner begging, 2, 3, sometimes 4 deep. And that wasn't that long ago, and I shared this story with you guys. I'm pulling there, and the key is never be in the first lane next to them. You want to be that one lane over, and that way, you know. And so, I'm obeying my methodology, and I'm in that next lane over, and, you know, but I'm feeling for this dude. So it's like, okay, I want to give him some money, and I look in my wallet, and I only got bigger bills. And I go, well, next time. And I did too. I exactly did that. So, you know, the light changes and I'm heading down beach, you know, to go to Westminster Avenue so I can go to church. This is Sunday, of course. And, you know, and I've prepared a message to talk about Jesus. And the Lord clearly told me, give him that money. And he wouldn't let me go. He goes, you're a pastor, right? You teach my word, right? And it's like, oh, ah, you know, and so it's like, all right. So I whip a U-E. I go back and I'm thinking, I hope he ain't there. And, no, it's true. I'm holy, but I still got a lot of work. So I'm there and I pull out the money and I'm going, this is from Jesus. Cause it ain't from me. But I'm figuring Jesus must really care about this dude. He must care about this guy. So I give him a card to the church and say, hey, man, God really cares about you. He loves you, Brian. He's got something more for you than this. But here you go. It's all my money. I gave it. But this is the thing. I was obedient. A little reluctantly, true. But this is the thing. That's what God wanted me to do. That was successful, God. Preaching a great message, sure, that's cool. Doing other stuff, yeah, that's cool. But what's really successful in the eyes of Jesus is obedience now. What I'm telling you to do now makes you successful. And it is the building of what's to happen in the future. It lays the groundwork for the next step. If you don't do what's crazy, because it always seems crazy. Why do I got to give that guy money, God? You know what he's going to use it for. I got all my rationalizations just like you do. That doesn't make sense. But success to God is doing what you should do today. Because if you won't do the crazy, you'll never do the impossible. Just won't. You don't have the faith for it. If I don't have the faith today to do what he's asking me today, I won't have the faith for bigger things. And he gives us a great example of this in scripture because God always gives us their stories, which parallel our stories. And it encourages us to keep going because we're in that long procession and there are people that are farther down the road than us. And there are people that are coming up behind us. In Matthew 22, chapter 17, verse 22, it says this, when they came together in Galilee, he said to them, so they're ministering in Galilee, they're going to head to Capernaum, which is north, about a number of miles, they're over on this side of Galilee, so they got a little bit of a trek, and while they're there, he says to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. This is now the second, possibly the third time he's told them they aren't getting it. They're getting the dead part and they're grieving over that, but they cannot have the faith at this point to believe he's going to resurrect. So every time they hear it, it blows their mind and it puts them into a funk. It puts them into grief. It says, be delivered into the hands of man and they will kill him. And on the third day, he will be raised to life. And the disciples were filled with grief. So they're there. Then from there, they're heading up to Capernaum where Peter lives and where Jesus has spoken many times in the synagogue there. And it says, after Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked. So they get there. They probably went by the synagogue and there was a tax that was collected to be sent down to Jerusalem to the temple, and all the people paid it. And it was 2 drachma coin, which is, I don't even know how much that is. But they saw Peter and Jesus not do it. And so one of the synagogue rulers came over and said, "Hey, what's up, homeboys? You don't pay the tax for the temple?" And Peter responded, "Yes, he does." Because they asked him, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," replied Peter. "Yes, he does." So when Peter came into the house, so they go to the house, Jesus was the first to speak to him. He says, "Hey, what do you think, Simon?" He asked, "From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes?" You know, people got to pay taxes. But does the king's kids have to pay a tax? You know, they're talking about the temple tax. Kind of the god of the temple. So do they pay tax? Taxes from their own, from whom do the kings collect the earthly, collect duties and taxes? From their own children or from others? "From others," Peter answered. What's the point here? "Then the children are exempt," Jesus said to him. So, you know, rhetorical question. The answer would be yes. "But so that they may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line and take the first fish that you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 drachma coin, 2 for me, 2 for you. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours." Jesus. You know, I can go upstairs and go to the coin bag and get, you know, that's crazy talk, Jesus. So here, you want me to go to the garage, get a fishing pole, go to the lake, to the right spot on the lake, because I am a professional fisherman, and throw it in the lake, catch the first thing that comes up, pull it out of the water, open its mouth, and there's a coin? That's crazy. I'm going to miss lunch? Is that what we're talking about here? See, why would God do that? First of all, they had no money. So they had to go get money. Well, Jesus is saying, you need to trust me, brother. You don't believe what I told you. You're in grief about what I'm telling you. See, we're looking at Jesus' life and death and resurrection as a point of history. None of that happened. He says, for you to believe something as massive as that, I'm going to nail it down to one day. Go fish. Do what you always do. And I'm going to show you that I know more about your business than you know. And I'm going to pay that money out of a fish's mouth. How long have you been fishing, Pete? You ever caught a fish with 4 drachma coin in its mouth? If you did, that would have been really weird, huh? I'm going to show you I know all this stuff. So Peter does it. Now, I don't know what he was thinking. Scripture doesn't tell us what he was thinking. He obviously got the coin, went back and paid those guys, and then put the game home, put the fishing gear away, went up and did whatever they were going to do the rest of that day. But here's the point. He obeyed. He did it. And he saw something he didn't see before. And he had no idea that that was another step in his growth of faith. But that day, he was absolutely successful. Oh, there'll be a day where he fails and denies the Lord. There'll be those days. But that day, he was successful. And that success can be built upon. Well, what happened after that? Well, let's take a look. In Acts chapter 3, a few years later, after Jesus rose from the dead, it says, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service, going to church, on their way to church, getting off at beach. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in, and each day he was put beside the temple gate. the one called the beautiful gate, so he could beg from the people going in to the temple. I don't know how many times Pete passed that guy. This was a regular practice, and it was a regular practice for them to go to the temple and pray. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Ah, the money thing again. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. This guy was so used to, just like we see people at the corner, so used to not looking at people and just holding that sign. And sometimes these guys are so tore up, they can, you know, they're zombie-like. And he says, look at us. So something was going on with Peter and God and this guy. Something's taking place, and Peter's looking at him, and John's with him, and John's looking at Peter. And he's looking at him, he's, what's up? This guy's here all the time. And Peter's looking intently at him. There's something going on. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you. I ain't got no money again. I ain't got no money. But something's different this time. But I'll give you what I have. Give you what I see. The faith to do the impossible starts with doing the crazy, doing the thing that doesn't make sense to us. Be faithful in a little, and God will give you more. He says, I'll give you what I have in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. Get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and he helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up and stood on his feet and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. And when they realized, that's the lame beggar, that's that dude. They had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. Then they all rushed in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. See, if you're not willing to be obedient today, you're not able to do the impossible later. And that's how it works in the kingdom. If that boy wasn't willing to crawl, he would never walk right. He wasn't willing to do what would seem silly. He'll never get to be able to walk right and do the miracle. That's the way you become successful in the kingdom. It's not the end goal. It's the now obedience. It all builds. So you want to be successful in the kingdom? Obey today. Obey today. Because you'll obey something. You'll obey something. And for a lot of us, it's fear. Fear runs us. We're afraid of this. We're afraid of that. And because of that fear, it stops us from doing things. I remember just recently we had a golf tournament, Christina Smith and Connie Hines and a few other people that are integral part of that ministry put it on. And, Teresa and I spoke and I was speaking and I was thinking, why am I sharing this? Because I spoke about our son, of course, is named after him, but I spoke of how mad I was at God for not letting him live when so many other people overdose and live. Why wouldn't you let my kid live? I don't get it. And I shared that with him. And while I'm sharing this, I'm thinking to myself, why am I sharing this? I'm supposed to be pumping up how good God is and look at the legacy of our son and these people have put this on and I'm sharing how I'm pissed back then. And I'm always going to be brokenhearted, but until I see him again. But that, you know, I'm sharing that. And then the other day, I'm sitting with Christina, and she said, you know, Joe, the thing you shared the other day, that's not your usual share. And I said, I know, it's so weird. And then she begins to tell me, you know, there's dear friends of hers that are like parents to them that 20, however many years ago, lost their son to a grand mal seizure, just out of the blue, he died. And it changed their lives. And they're so mad. They've been so mad all this time. Their whole world changed. They've never been able to move beyond loss. And he told her after, he was at the golf tournament. He told her afterwards that I'm taking more home today than what I thought I would be taking home. And I go, God, thank you for sharing that, because I beat myself up over that. I said, why was I sharing that? Or Therese, help me next time. Jump in and say what he's trying to say. But that was the thing. I just knew God wanted me. It wasn't really what I was going to share. And I just knew that I should be sharing this. And then I'm thinking, why am I sharing this? And then I got that confirmation. We don't always get that confirmation of something. Because I was just, that day, I did what was right. And who knew it was for that guy and his wife? That one guy and his wife. Who knew that? God did. God did. And the God wanted that to happen. And he just said, obey me in this, Joe, because there have been times in my life when God has spoken to me to speak something and I didn't do it. I was afraid to do it. I was afraid. It's crazy. You know, who am I? What am I going to say? I don't know what to say. Just open your mouth. That's the bad part here. The part I'm struggling with, you know, but see, that's the thing God will use. That's the thing God does that changes the future. I've learned over time to do the crazy. And I've also seen the crazy leads to doing the impossible. I've learned to pray and see miracles take place. And other times, you know, because I just want to formulate it, you know, did I put my hand on his head? What do I do on the next prayer? Because this one's moving. And, you know, you just do, you do. So here's my thing to you guys. Just be crazy enough. And you know, with our crowd, crazy ain't that far from us. Let's be crazy when God says something, eh? Maybe you just need to stop complaining. Maybe God's been pushing on you to just stop complaining. Maybe it's to stop something else. Maybe it's to do something else. Maybe it's just to stay the course. Stay the course. But I don't see anything happening. Stay the course. You need to learn to live in calm, too. You don't always have to live in chaos. You know, whatever it is. See, it's not me telling you, and it always sounds crazy. Maybe you need to cut something out of your life, cut a relationship out of your life. Yeah, that'd be crazy. What is my life going to look like now? That's not what God's asking you to do. He's got the results. He's got the end game. We need to do what we need to do today. When you lay your head down, if you've done what you need to do today, you're successful. And if you didn't, and like I said earlier, you repent, you're successful. It's a good day. It's a good day. Amen? Who wants to do great things for God? All right, let's start today. Start today. So I'll lead you in a prayer if you want to pray. Lord Jesus, I want to do great things. So help me to do the now thing, which will lead to the great thing. And I don't even know what the great thing looks like. I have in my mind, but I don't know. But I trust you. So give me the resources, the power through your Holy Spirit to do what is right today. and give me the strength and the fearlessness to respond to your voice quickly in my life, immediately. I thank you for that. Make my life count, but make it count one day at a time. Give me the power not to shrink back when you give me a directive. And I am willing to give up my comfort . Comfort keeps coming to my mind. I think that's a stumbling block for some people in here. We want to ask God for more, but we want him to be comfortable too. So I repent of that. That's you, just repent of that. I'd rather be stretched for good and be comfortable and miss out. Make that your prayer. Suffering too. I want to serve God, but I don't want to suffer. It's a worse suffering for you to not trust God. You will suffer far more, and it will not be a benefit to you. Suffering in the name of Jesus is beneficial for your life. You gain. You become a blessing. Your life will have meaning way beyond what you can understand now. I don't want to be judged. Anybody in here fearful of being judged? You're going to be judged anyway, bro. You're going to be judged anyway. Be judged for doing right. Be judged for that. Judge for that. And you know what God will do? He'll honor you for that. I'd rather be honored in the eyes of God and fear the judgment of man. Lord, I just pray for my brothers and sisters in here, God. You've placed us in this generation. We have a role to play here. We have a purpose for being born. Everything we've gone through has meaning. Has meaning. Use our lives to be a blessing in our generation. As long as I have breath, Lord God, let me serve you. And all those who agree, say amen. All right, God bless you guys. Walk it out today. Walk it out today.